Well, we've already went over the bulletin, so you can put that up, but you can take notes on the back of the bulletin this morning. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 13, and we are going to learn something today. Did everybody come to church to learn something, I hope? All right. I'm just going to already tell you right up front, this may not be what you want to hear, all right? sometimes it's not tickling your ears this morning. This is the truth. And I'll be honest with you, when the Lord spoke this to me, is like, do I really have to share this? Because I was struggling with it myself. And this is what happened. I've had this on my heart for a couple of weeks, and this story in Scripture in Genesis chapter 13 that we're going to look at this morning. And there's 18 verses in Genesis chapter 13, and we're going to read all 18 of them. But, and I know that most of you in here know, if you live in the United States of America, you know that we just went through an election. And those that are over 18 can vote. And I cast my vote. And this is what the Holy Spirit said to me. And I'm not wanting to get political in this message, but you can use this with this election. You can use this in your marriage. You can use this in your business. This is what we're going to learn today. And this is what the Lord spoke to me, and the Lord spoke to my heart and said, Mark, can you live in contentment if you don't win? And I was like, I don't want to hear that, Lord. That's not what I want to hear right now. Can you live in contentment if you don't win? If you don't get your way, can you live in contentment? And so it made me do some soul searching. So I've been doing some soul searching, and I'm going to tell you, I'm not preaching this or teaching this to you from an expert point of view, okay? I'm still in this myself. But this was something the Holy Spirit spoke to me through this passage of Scripture that we're going to look at. And he told me, he said, Mark, there are times in your life as a believer, as a Christian, that you need to stand up for your values, for your rights, for what you believe in, all those things. But there are also times that you need to stand down and you need to know the difference, okay? And I'm not here to say that this is not a time to stand up, all right? Don't leave here today and say, Pastor Mark says we just need to, you know, take this laying down. No, I didn't say that. I'm not going to say that through this message. But there are times, again, just like the book Ecclesiastes says, there's a time for everything. So there's a time to stand up and there's a time to stand down. So look at somebody and say, there's a time to stand up and there's a time to stand down. All right? So this, and what this message really is, I'm going to put the spin on it right now. This is a very different understanding of contentment. A lot of us think contentment is when we are getting our way and everything's hunky-dory, everything's going according like we pray, God's doing exactly how we're ordering him to work in our life. Hello. Everything's just going perfect. But this is a message about only when we are satisfied in God and God alone will we be content and be able to embrace whatever he sends our way with joy and patience. Who we're going to look at today is Abraham. Even though Abraham had a lot of faults, we learned that from Mark Shell. He was just like one of us. Abraham understood this, and it enabled him to stand down when faced with a conflict with his nephew Lot in his family. And let's read. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 13 about this. But, you know, I've heard all kinds of things, guys, with this. I saw somebody that put off. They were a couple. They probably should have had this figured out before they got this far. They were engaged, fixing to get married, and they called it all off because one of them voted how the other one didn't vote. So, I mean, we're hearing all kinds. I mean, families are being split, all kinds of stuff. And, guys, I've told you from, you know, when this all started that we don't want this infiltrating into the church and into our marriages and into our homes. And everybody said, amen. All right, so everybody ready to learn this morning? Okay. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 13, Genesis chapter 13, verse 1. So Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev with his wife, Sarah, and everything he had, and Lot with him. That's Lot was his nephew, so this is a big family deal. Lot left the Ur of the Chaldees with Abraham, you know, and all this. So Abraham's got family with him. Verse 2 says, Abram had become very wealthy in livestock and in silver and gold. From the Negev, he went from place to place until he came to Bethel, to the place between Bethel and Ai, where his tent had been earlier, and where he had first built an altar. There Abraham called on the name of the Lord. Now Lot, who was moving about with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents, but the land could not support them while they stayed together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to stay together. Verse 7, even though I'm reading this out of the NIV version, in the New King James or the King James, it says, "And quarreling arose," or strife arose, "between Abram's herders and Lot's. The Canaanites and the Perizzites were also living in the land at that time. So Abram said to Lot, 'Let's not have any quarreling or strife between you and me or between your herders and mine, for we are close relatives. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left.' And he looked around and saw that the whole plain on the Jordan towards Zoar was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. And this was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out toward the east. The two men parted company. Abram lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tents near Sodom. Now the people of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. The Lord said to Abram after Lot had parted from him, 'Look around from where you are to the north and the south, to the east and west. All the land that you see I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go walk through the length and the breadth of the land, for I'm giving it to you.' So Abram went to live near the great trees of Mamre at Hebron, where he pitched his tents, where he built an altar to the Lord." And that's Genesis 13, verses 1 through 18. I know that's a lot, but I want you to hear that story to see what was happening. And actually, we're going to go back to verse 5 is where I want you to. It says, "Now Lot was moving about with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents, but the land could not support them while they stayed together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to stay together. And strife, fighting, quarreling arose between Abram's herders and Lot's. And the Canaanites and the Perizzites were also living in the land at that time. So Abram said to Lot, 'Let's not have any quarreling between you and me or between your herders and mine, for we are close relatives. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left.' And he looked around and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan towards Zoar was well watered." And so this is what the nephew chose, the good, right? I want you to put yourself in this story, all right, this morning. You're sitting there and you're with your little nephew, and I've got some nephews, and you say, "Okay, buddy, you choose whatever you want." And so he chooses the good land. Now, I'm sure Abraham might have had this thought, "Why, you little, you've been tagging along with me all this time. I've been blessing you. I'm the one that's giving you all the stuff, everything, and you've built this, you know, this great herd up, but now you want to have the best land." I'm sure this was going through Abram's mind, okay? Because Abraham was just like you and I, right? But Abraham chose, because he was family, he was blood, he chose to stand down during that moment. He said, "Okay, you can have whatever." And because he did, God showed up and God told Abram, "I'm still going to bless you. Even though that land don't look that great, I'm still going to bless you." Now, I'm going to give you four things this morning, if you're taking notes on the back of your bulletin, or things to remember. These are four key elements in handling conflict. How many of you are married in here? All right. How many of you have family in here? How many of you have your own job, you know, business, you know, you work and all? What I'm trying to get at is every one of us deal with conflict somewhere. There's conflict always going on. And as Christians, as believers, there's conflict going on in our nation right now. We need to know how to respond. When it talks about the Canaanites and the Perizzites were right there, had they not responded, had Abraham and Lot not responded right, because when I was studying this, I was like, why did all of a sudden God, you threw in there because the Canaanites and the Perizzites were in the land? Why'd you throw that in there? And the Lord showed me that's a type and shadow of us in the New Testament. That's a type and shadow of the flesh, okay? That what was happening was that the Canaanites and Perizzites, had Abraham and Lot not chose the right things, they would have overtaken them and taken everything that they had. Abraham and Lot, I also believe, represents the body of Christ right now. There's churches dividing over this issue, okay? How many of you know when you find out that somebody didn't vote like you did, we live in a different day and age, okay? Social media, oh gosh. You know, you find out, I got friends and family that don't think like I do. Well, by gosh, they can just go you know where. Am I telling the truth? All right, that's what's going on everywhere. It is going on. And guys, we can't let that spirit of division seep into the church. And everybody said, amen. We just cannot allow it. The Canaanites and the Perizzites were standing right there hoping that they wouldn't make the right decision so they could come in and take over. Thank God Abraham and Lot parted ways, and they did. You know, we can agree, you can agree to disagree, right? That's even agreement. It's not, all the time, it's not just, you know, okay, I will agree if you see it my way. No, sometimes we just have to agree to disagree. But you can still be in agreement even if you disagree. Does that make sense? No, that was a lot, but we can. All right, here's four key elements in handling conflict, and here's number one. Number one, having much can sometimes cause conflicts. You saw that with them. Both these guys had a lot. They had silver, gold, herds, livestock, everything. Bigger, I'm just going to say this right now to all of us, bigger is not always better. Amen? More is not always the best. Less is more. Less is more. I'll never forget when I learned this as a pastor, okay? My whole deal was when I started pastoring, I was like, gosh, I want everybody to come to our church. I want our church to be just busting at the seams every Sunday morning, that we're going to have to build a bigger sanctuary out here and out there. And I was going to these church conferences, and I was listening to these pastors that pastor, and I'm thinking of Robert Morris this morning, pastoring, you know, 30,000 people in the doubt, maybe more than that now, in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. And then I got behind the scenes and I started listening to all the stuff he has to go through. And I was like, Lord, I thank God for Leedy. And I thank God for my small church. You know, sometimes bigger is not better. Less is more. And here's, I want to say this, because in us, God wants to bless us. Sometimes there's a, you know, we're all the time looking for more, and a guy, if I get from point A to point B will be better, and we find out really point A was better than point B. Have you ever been there? You know, I'm getting older now that I'm starting to learn those things, or I hope so. And sometimes bigger is not better, more is not always the best. Sometimes you just need to be happy and content right where you're at instead of always striving for more. And I talked to a friend of mine here over the last couple weeks, who she is a real estate broker in Texas, and she's growing by leaps and bounds and adding on agents and everything. And then she said all of a sudden her life just started falling apart. And she said, I went to see my counselor, and my counselor told me something, and I told her on the phone, I was like, your counselor is very wise. And her counselor told her, said what's happening here is you've exceeded your bandwidth. And you need to get back in line. Some of us are trying to do too much and more and all this, and sometimes it's just God didn't equip you with the bandwidth to do that. God didn't equip me with the bandwidth to handle a 30,000 member church. Thank God. But I'm in Western Oklahoma with a church of 50. Okay, that's the bandwidth that I have. And now it used to bother me because I would go in, you know. Can I just be honest with you this morning, all right, transparent? When pastors get together, it's not always fun, okay? Pastors get together, this is going to sound really redneck, but they sniff each other like dogs do, you know? Like, how big's your congregation? You know, how big's your congregation? I got 50 in Western Oklahoma, and I'm happy with it. But I used to be, well, you know, I didn't want to speak up. You know, I'd stretch it, say, I got 100. Liar. You know, and that's the way pastors are behind the scenes. I'm just going to be honest with you. So I have learned in whatever state I am to be content, like Paul said, and sometimes having much can sometimes cause conflicts. Sometimes having less is better and being content. And everybody said, amen. All right, here's number two. Number two is we need to value people over possessions. And I'm going to even say this, even though that's in our text today, valuing people over possessions. When Abraham and Lot split up, I'm going to add another one in there. We need to value people over politics. Amen. when I was reading that, I was reading this, and not even, you know, and I know that the political scene's in my mind, but when I was reading it and it says, Abraham goes, you go to the right, I'll go to the left, or you go to the left, I'll go to the right. I was like, that sounds like politics right now, right? You know? And then I heard an old Native American saying, Kent, that says, right wing, left wing, belong to same bird. You know? I was like, yeah, that's true too, you know? So that's my best Native American impression right there. So we need to value people over possessions and politics, because what happens is when we allow strife to come in, division to come in, strife steals your peace, it hinders your progress, and it keeps you from prospering in God. And then the other thing that it does is it keeps you, James chapter 3 talks about this. I didn't put these scriptures up there, but it says where there's strife and envy, there's every evil thing under the sun happening there. And so what that's telling us is that if we stay in strife, even as Christians, even though you know the Lord and you're going to go to heaven one day, you can live in strife as a Christian. Amen? And it's hell on earth. It's misery is what it really is. And so he's saying, if you want to live that way, you're not going to have peace, you're not going to make progression, you're not going to prosper. And that's not just talking financial prosperity. We're talking relational prosperity, spiritually, emotionally, mentally. When you're in strife, it affects your whole body, spirit, soul, and body. And it also keeps you carnal or living in the flesh. I'm tired of Christian carnality. Amen. I want to live in the spirit, not live in the flesh. So the bottom line is this. Strife is an enemy of love. Abraham knew that. Abraham knew that. I love my family. I love Lot. So we're going to have to split ways. And we're going to have to agree to disagree. Lot, you go wherever you want to, but we're going to stay in love as a family. Strife is an enemy of family. It is an enemy of family. It's an enemy of love. How many of you heard this phrase? Happy wife, happy life. Amen. All right, all the guys in here. What you've got to agree to there's times Jay and I have to agree to disagree, but here's the deal. Agreement is the answer to strife. Any time that you guys get in a tiff, if you're married in here in relationship, anytime there's, and I see young ladies over here, you're not married yet, but you got ball teams and stuff. Anytime there's strife, you guys need to nip that in the bud as quick as you can, because it'll affect your whole season. It can make life miserable. Don't let strife come in. Agree quickly. As soon as I know that Jade and I are not on the same page, and if you've been married for any length of time, you know what I'm talking about. You just know there's a rift between us today. We're not on the same page, so we need to get together and get on the same page so that we have peace, that we're making progress, and we're living in God's prosperity. And everybody said amen. So we need to value people over possessions, value people over politics. And I'm going to go ahead and put this in here this morning. As I have been thinking about all the things that are happening, and I know that there's times we need to stand up, stand down. There's times that we need to get involved, not get involved, all those things. How God leads each and every one of us is different. But when I look at the life of Jesus, Jesus was here during a very political time period as well with the Romans. The only thing that I saw Jesus do, and the only thing I ever seen Jesus say politically, was render to Caesar what's Caesar and to God what's God's. But what Jesus did when he was here was love people. He didn't ask how they were voting. Amen. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good this morning. And but I'm on Facebook going, oh, they didn't vote like I hate them. You know, that, can I be trans? That's where I was at, and God's like, Mark, that is not Christianity. That is not Christ-like. I didn't walk around doing that when I was here. I loved all people. Love covers a multitude of sins. Amen? I need love. So if I want God's love, I need to give God's love. Part of learning to stand down comes from recognizing the value of people. I'm not going to let how somebody voted devalue them as a person, because God died for them. Amen? All right. Here's a little story that I found. Thomas Watson, who was the founder of IBM, he entered a meeting once where many of the company's problems were being discussed. And on the table sat a stack of papers which identified some of the biggest threats to their future success as a company. After much discussion, Watson walked over to the pile and swept his hand through the pile, sending papers all over the room. And he said, there aren't categories of problems here. There's just one problem. Some of us aren't paying enough attention to our customers. Saying we're not paying enough attention to people. Okay? All right. Here's number three. Number three, four key elements in handling conflict. Number three is learn the danger of greener grass. Thank God Abraham knew that, but Lot sure didn't. He chose the greener grass. And it shows in parentheses in the Word of God that was before Sodom and Gomorrah. All right? So learn the dangers of greener grass. I got another way of putting it. Here's a redneck version. If the grass is greener on the other side, there's probably more manure there. And that is so true. And poor Lot didn't realize that when he chose. The Bible doesn't say, and I just want to throw this in there, whenever we go back and read this yourself, when you start off, it talks about how Abraham prayed, and then they have this situation happen with Lot and Abraham. And when we pray every day, you know, Jade and I, we try to pray together every day. What happens is it sets the tone for the day, and you're receiving God's wisdom for that day. Abraham had God's wisdom, and when you read it, that story, it says Lot chose for himself. He didn't go pray about it. He just looked. He walked by sight and not by faith. He just looked and said, that's greener over there. I'm taking that pasture, Abraham. It's greener. And he didn't realize how much manure was over there, and that's where Sodom and Gomorrah was at. So I wanted to throw that in there. You got to learn the danger of greener grass. Sometimes making the choice of what we think is better may not be God's plan for us. Amen? Maybe God's saying, no, you just need to stay right where you're at, or you need to choose another path. All right, here's number four. Number four key element in handling conflict is you need to rest in God's provision. And resting in God's provision is contentment in action when you learn how to rest in however God's providing. And I love this scripture. This is our theme scripture for today. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Look at somebody and say, godliness with contentment is great gain. All right, so here's the summary for all of us today, all right? Everybody learning something today? All right, you don't have to get your way to solve a conflict. You don't always have to be right. In marriage, I hope you're learning that. You don't always have to be right. I've learned that so much. You don't have to get your way to solve a conflict. God has a better way. Sometimes the better way is to stand down and trust Him. Look to Christ as your joy. Find your contentment in Him. And everybody said, don't leave here today and say, well, Pastor Mark said all of us as Christians need to stand down in this election process. I'm not saying that. I think we need to stand up. I think there's a lot of things going on. We need to have honest elections in the voting. You can't tell me we can't get better at that. We got all kinds of things that we can do to help improve that. So there's times to stand up. There's times to stand down. And as Christians, we need to know the difference. And everybody said amen. All right. I want to end with this story about being right and wrong. And this kind of puts it all into perspective for us. So when you're ever in those situations where you're just all fired up because you're fighting for what's right, you need to remember this. There was a meeting where two Christian men, remember they're Christian men, almost came to blows over a disagreement. One man finally stood and pounded the desk and shouted, I don't care what you do, but I will have my rights. At that, an old, partially deaf brother who had been sitting near leaned forward and cupped his ear in his hand and said, hey, what's that? What did you say, brother? Your rights, is it? Is that what you want? Ah, brother, if you had your rights, you'd be in hell. The Lord Jesus didn't come to get his rights. He came to get his wrongs, which were our wrongs, and he got them. And with that, the belligerent fellow flushed and sat down saying, you're right, settle it any way you like. And soon there was perfect agreement. It was this same spirit that moved Abram to give Lot the first choice. Amen. That puts it all into perspective, doesn't it? So we've got to know when to stand up or stand down. Amen. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And I just, you know, when I ended with that story, You know, maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you've been to church many times, but you've just never made it personal. I'm not talking, you can't get to heaven on, you know, your parents' faith or your grandparents' faith, or you've got to make it, it's got to be your own. It's got to be your personal decision. So I want to lead you in a prayer, and this is the prayer of salvation. The Bible says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to lead you in this prayer and leading those that are watching online this morning. This will also be on the radio next Sunday morning. So I want you to, even if you are saved and you know that, I want you to repeat this prayer with them. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Did everybody learn something today? Okay, and if that was the first time you prayed that prayer, your very next step of obedience is water baptism. We can do that next Sunday. And Jada, will you come up here? We're going to bless everybody today. It's good to see everybody. I hope this is good. This, take this word, because it'll help you. We're coming into the holidays, right? Getting with family and all those good things. Know when to stand up, know when to stand down, all right? And keep the peace. And everybody said, amen. All right, because we're supposed to be peacemakers. All right, Jada and I, everybody stand up. And if you got your family there with you, you can join hands with them, and we're going to bless you guys today. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ, to the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. I want to say this. If we can have some good, strong guys to help us set up in here for the baby shower that we're having this